reasons. We want to welcome everybody to the meeting tonight. Can we be on our feet, please? Amen. Please, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight. We give you all the glory, the honor, and adoration, O God. We are so grateful tonight, Lord Jesus, because, Lord, we see how the devil is successful in engaging a lot of people to be so pressed in so many ways that they don't even have time for Christ. We are so fortunate to be here tonight. And Lord Jesus, we deem it a privilege, O God, to be in your presence. And we say thank you. Father, Lord, as we have gathered once again to give you worship, Lord, to praise you, we pray, O God, if there be anything that will hinder our praise, Lord, have mercy tonight, Lord, and wash it away with your blood, O God, that our worship, our praise, Lord, will reach your presence, will reach your throne of mercy, O God, that the sick will be healed, Lord, that the backslider will come back home, that, Lord, testimonies will come to your sanctuary. Thank you for your grace tonight, Lord. May you open us, Lord, for your word. In your name, Jesus, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Down from his glory, amen.
Reject it.
I Is great, amen. How great thou art, amen. Amen. My soul, my Savior God.
Let's sing the last verse. The last verse.
We shall little foundation and take me home. For joy shall be.
Let's sing it to him. He is the King of Kings. sing that again. Hallelujah.
Oh, hail him, Jesus.
Let's hail him tonight. Amen. Clapping all for unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we have one sister who says that we want to request a prayer to welcome one brother, Brother David, who is coming from Kenya. And then Sister Sharon and Joy would like to sing. We'll call on Brother Steve to pray for us tonight to commit a service into the hands of the living God.
Many miles that each of us have traveled, the work week is behind us, Lord, and we come to dine. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you for bringing Brother George here safely. Lord, and we come under expectation tonight, Father. The requests that have gone out, Lord, under the raised hand tonight, Lord, the different prayer requests that are under that true heart, Father. Lord, we know we take and cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, that your word is true. You're the high priest of our confession.
Amen.
And our confession is, Lord, you're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my savior. You're my keeper.
Yes,
you're my
Jesus.
All in all, Lord. And I want to thank you for that tonight. And as each of these believers lift their hands and their hearts to you, Father, we sing your praises, Lord. But we want you to know we love you, Father. We want you to have your way from the first song in this service all the way to the last amen of the service, Lord. Be glorified. Be magnified. We commit ourselves to you. Speak to our hearts, Father, as we grow in your grace and knowledge. Have your way. Bless Brother Mike, Lord Jesus, as he pastors this assembly. Continue to open your word to him, Father. We love you, Lord. Bless Brother George as he comes tonight. Brother George Martin, Lord, as he preaches your word after all these years, for 20 some years now we've heard him, Lord, and always been a blessing, Lord, how he surrendered himself and let you have your way through his life. Bless him. His sweet wife, Sister Portia, went back home, Lord. Strengthen her, Father. Encourage her heart too tonight, Father. We pray you have your way, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please take your seat.
Please, thank you.
We call on Sharon, Sharon William, Joy William, who want to sing tonight. Sharon.
I call unto you
changing, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you, I call unto you again and again, I call unto you again and again.
Shall we be on our feet, please? Days of Elijah. Amen.
The days of Elijah declaring the words of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, by truth. And though we fall of famine and darkness and sorrow, Lord, we hold you.
him. Praise him for what I know now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise him. Praise him. Give him all his praise. Him. Give him his praise. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
Service and we sing, "Create in me a clean heart," to invite the minister. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart. Thank you.
give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you out on a Friday night to worship the Lord. Across the street, they're playing baseball. They probably wonder what's going on over there. I saw a person passing by watching. You're on record that you're here to worship God. Amen. We're here to worship God. Amen. Thanks so many of you for coming and joining with us. If I start trying to call all the names, I'll miss somebody. I'll try to shake your hand if I get a chance. But God bless you all for coming. We come for one thing, and that's to hear the Word of God. We come to hear Brother George to minister, where he's not a stranger to most of us. He's a wonderful brother in Christ. He's been a real friend through the years. And so tonight, as we are happy to have him come to the pulpit again, you just pray that God will speak something to your heart. Now, man studies, he prays, and he gets everything in line. But do you know that God can change his thought just for a minute to answer your question and change something in your life that you're looking for? God is honoring you with his word. This man has a gift, but it belongs to God. And Brother Branham said, you actually operate that gift. So if we will operate the gift tonight in the unity of the faith, and I feel a warm spirit here tonight, welcome spirit, the Lord will bless you. Amen. So good to have Brother George. Brother George.
God bless you. Amen. Good evening, friends. Not to keep you standing.
Is this one off?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Not to keep you standing too long. Let me take the scripture so that you can enjoy your seat hereafter while I bring the necessary greetings. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to two portions of scripture. The first one being in the book of Ephesians, very well known scripture, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Finding it, I read, and take the helmet of salvation, and my emphasis is going to be, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. The next scripture will be in Hebrews 4, verse 12. Very well-known scripture, since the prophet of the hour always emphasized this scripture. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. May God add blessing to the reading of his word as you enjoy the comfort of your seats. Allow me to greet you tonight by saying good evening. And in Hebrew, Erev Tov, in Shona Maneru, in Afrikaans, Goeienaand, and in Tsonga, Shangaan, which Brother Branham says Shangai, Liperile Jambo, and in German, Guten Abend. And if you want me to continue in tongues, I will. It is an honor for me to stand in this pulpit. Thank you, Brother Mike. You are a gallant soul. Wish I had the whole service just to appreciate you, my brother. Brother Mike is one of the most eminent men in this message, and I respect him greatly. I'm aware that many great preachers have graced this pulpit. I am the least of them, but you pray for me. I'm normally not a long-winded preacher. We have learned the hard way. Many years ago when I started out, I, for one, used to go for 4, 4.5 hours, 5 hours, until one day preaching in another part of South Africa, the service being a Wednesday night, people coming from work, children coming from school, some hadn't been home to eat. So the pulpit was given over at about 8, and at midnight we were still preaching, saying, I have not even started with my subject. That was 4 hours later, when a brother shot up from the back and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. So before anybody accuses me of a Pharaoh, I will make sure that it'll be brief, precise, and up to the point. My title tonight is going to be Knights of the Sword Order. Knights in this case is not night, darkness, but it's K-N-I-G-H-T, a man who carries the sword. My theme is going to be reinforcement. Reinforcement. My inspiration, really, the idea that preceded this message comes from three quotations, and they are, what is the attraction on the mountain? And I'm quoting paragraph 132. I went up into the canyon. I climbed a plumb up where the eagles were flying around. I was watching some deer there. I knelt down to pray, please watch the wording. Tonight is part one. Tomorrow night is part two. He says, I knelt down to pray. That kneeling, you're going to find out, is very important when you speak of knights and they're being knighted. They've got to be kneeling. I knelt down to pray and raised up my hands, and a sword struck my hand, and I looked around and I thought, what's that? I'm not beside myself. Here's that sword in my hand. Watch the language again. Bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. I said, now there are no people in miles of me way up here in this canyon. Where could that have come from? I heard a voice say, that's the king's sword. Not just a king now, the king. Watch that language for tomorrow night. And I said, this is what piqued my interest. My name is George, and my nickname is Curious George. It works for me because I don't just listen to a tape for listening. I don't just read a message book for reading. I stopped at, and I said, a king knights a man with a sword. Did you hear what he responded? When the voice said, the king's sword, he said, I said, the king knights a man with a sword. Second quotation, trying to do God a service. This is volume 7, number 2, paragraph 53. I looked around, and the sword was gone, and I said, a king's sword, and the voice corrected me and said, the king's sword. He says, dot, 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 they knight with a sword. Second time he puts it on tape. The third one comes from One in a Million, Los Angeles, California, volume 18, number 1. And a voice spoke to me and said, this is the sword of the Lord. And I thought, well, a sword, it's for like a king tonight. These three quotations piqued my interest, made me want to know about knighthood. And here goes. When the prophet describes the sword in the seals, he says, something happened, something fell into my hand. And I know if you don't understand spiritual things, that caught my interest. It may be strange to you, but something struck my hand, and when I looked, it was a sword. It was made of pearl. Watch the symbols. Jesus is the pearl of great price. And you know where you keep your hands from being lanced. Watch that language for tomorrow night. When you are dueling, watch that word for tomorrow night, was gold. Gold is a symbol of deity. And the saber's blade wasn't too long, you know. It was razor sharp and it was glistening silver. Psalms 12 verse 6, the word of the Lord is as silver. Amen. Purified 7 times. Remember, the seals were to follow. 7 seals. So God gives him a sword, silver, which is as the word of the Lord, purified how many times? 7 times. With this, I began to look into the message. And I found an indictment, volume 3, number 19, where the prophet speaks about Sister Edith Wright, that's Hetty Wright's sister, says she is changing. Every 7 years, your life changes. This is going to tie into knighthood. Every 7 years, your life changes. So where Edith is now is 7 times 7. She was 49. Ladies know what happens at that time. Men should too. The prophet also says, when men hit this stage, suddenly a bald man wants to have a little ponytail. He wants to start wearing shorts. He shaves 3 times a day. And then he uses all these kinds of you know what. The prophet says he's also going through a change. He says, you see, it makes it kind of hard at that time. It's a complete change. 7 times 7. It bothers women. And men usually get kind of funny carrying on during that time. And sometimes even leave their wives. Women become infertile after that. But I'm going to take the 7 times 7. So I began to look into our life. And I found out that we go through 7 stages indeed, as the prophet spoke. Infancy, childhood, youth, very dangerous stage, then adolescence, then middle age. I'll tell you how you know you've hit middle age. Look around the middle. The brothers will know you are hitting middle age. Some hit it sooner than the others. Then comes the decline. That's where I am now. And then thereafter, the last stage is called senility. When you reach senility, you start behaving like when you began. You stop dropping your food when you eat. You start forgetting to brush your teeth, etc., etc., etc. So these 7 stages, as the prophet taught them, I found them to tie perfectly into the whole course of knighthood. Knights were very famous in countries like, for instance, England, Norway. Norway originated from when you are on the island called England and you point northward, the Norwegians, meaning north of England. They had knights too. Austria, Denmark, etc., etc. What is a knight? A person of noble birth. And if you begin to line it up with the prophet of the hour to whom the sword was given, you know that at his birth there was a pillar of fire. If you take it a little further, when you are born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is a noble birth. It's better than mother and father's birth. Secondly, a knight is a person upon whom authority, dignity, and power is conferred or transferred or put upon. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother Branham was given a gift, which he took around the earth 7 times. Authority to bind spirits and mumbas and snakes. Reminds me, my brothers and sisters, of a preacher who exercises these things. And while he was preaching, there was a little boy up front, and he was fidgety, as all boys are. But this one somehow was beginning to disturb the minister. And the minister, anointed, just boomed out and said, "I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus." And the little boy straightened up for another hour and a half. And the song service ended. Everybody was dismissed. And everybody was standing outside, the preacher included, when the mother of the child said to the preacher, "Now unbind him." The boy was still seated in church. We have power, brothers and sisters. The prophet calls it actually authority. So what is a knight? It's a man who is mounted in arms for his Lord. Do you see? He's a warrior. Hence the sword came into the hand of Brother Branham as a symbol of the word. And today you are armed too. And then, not only is he a person armed for battle, his master must provide him with a horse. Tomorrow night we're going to visit the dream of Orlan Walker, which he told the prophet. He said, "I saw you riding on a white military horse." The prophet says, "That's the word, of course, but the symbol was, there he was riding on a white horse, hallelujah, with a military prance." Yes, a knight is a warrior, a champion in warfare, a man who can handle sword, shield, spear, whatever, any weaponry that he can use on behalf of his master. Here comes! A knight is also a protector of the elect lady. And John writes, as you very well know, in 2 John verse 1, to the elect lady. Oh, you are very important. You may not realize it, but you are no commoner. You are highly placed in the economy of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And a knight is required to live a morally clean life. No wonder the voice of God said, "Don't drink or smoke or defile your body in any way." And some people think that that injunction was only for Brother Branham. Yes, it was, but it also applies to you. We cannot call ourselves message believers. "Excuse me, Pastor, I will speak as the pastor speaks." And then our sisters on the heights and tight. Hittites, Hittites. Amen. We can't be doing that. And then the brothers on the one side, they hit the sisters and their wives at home. "You're also a Hittite, brother. Hit tight." We can't be doing such things, because the prophet says the best way to fight your wife, take your head and take a walk. He didn't mean a walk where you don't come back and sleep at home. So a knight was supposed to subscribe to these qualifications and more. I'm going to read what knighthood says from the encyclopedia. They say chivalry, which is a code of conduct, was a knight's code of behavior. Today we have COD, conduct, order, and can you see that? So you have been knights all this time and you were not aware. They follow a strict code of behavior or conduct, and Christian ideals became part of the knight's way of life. A true knight had faith and a deep love of Christianity. He defended the church, as they say, and was ready to die for it. He loved his country of birth. How many of you have heard the prophet say, "I'm identified with America"? In its glory and in its shame. Language of a knight. He loved his country of birth, and we love heaven too. Where we come from, amen. He was a man who gave generously to all. And as I travel, I get to hear that the prophet was a person who loved to give. We haven't got time to go into all that, but I'm sure as a message believer, you'll come across it. A knight was supposed to protect at all times the feeble and the weak. There's the elect lady. A knight, could you remove the echo, my brother? God bless you. A knight championed right against injustice and evil. Seventh qualification, a knight never surrendered or flinched in the face of the enemy. Let's give God the glory. We have seen these qualifications in our beloved prophet. Therefore, take courage, soldiers. Sometimes the battle is hard and heavy. Sometimes we also rethink, well, maybe, Lord, you finished with me. Maybe, but oh no. When you see the enemy rising like a flood, God will raise up a standard. How's he going to raise that standard? Through you. Listen to this. They say the training for a knight started at the age of 7. How appropriate, because your life and mine revolves in 7s. And there's the prophet at the age of 7. He hears a voice. His training begins. Brother George, why do you choose to open the 3 services with knighthood? The minute you hear that the training starts at age 7, the prophet comes into view. And then, if you are sharp in the spirit, you know that tonight is the 7th of the 7th. 17. Is that right? And if you are here on Sunday, we are going to prove to you that the number 17 is another way of saying number 7. Which is why when the 7th messenger at the River Ohio was baptizing the what? The 17th person. God responded from heaven. Because in the mysteries of numbers, or the mystery of numbers, 7 is also 17, 17 is also 7. Brother George, so what happens? Then he trains up to the age of 14. At age 7, he's called a page. At age 14, he's called a squire. And what happened to the prophet at age 14? God trained him as regarding what hell is. When Jim Poole accidentally let the bullet go, it went through his legs. There he was in hospital, and he tells you that his life was ebbing away. And he descended into hell. Now this really makes me tremble. At age 14, he's going to hell. born with a pillar of fire over him, heard a voice at the age of 7 and saw visions. What a warning to our youth. He himself was not yet born again. There's the secret. Coming to church, youth, is wonderful. I'll encourage you 110%. Come to church, but don't just come to warm a bench. Amen. Cry out for the new birth. Amen. Then the training continues. Oh, I love this. Until age 21. Then he's called Sir. Age 7, age 14, and when he reaches age 21, he is called Sir. Now, this one troubled me a bit. I couldn't find out what really happened at age 21. Yes, I found this, I found that. But I wanted something connecting to knighthood, and I found it in the message, Why Christ Speak. It is 1963, and the prophet says, Lord, give me courage to take that sword in my hand that you placed 33 years ago and march to the third pool. I said, what is he saying? I listened again. Lord, give me courage to take that sword that you put in my hand 33 years ago. And this is 63. So he already had the sword of the Spirit. 1963, when the literal sword hit his hand, it was a confirmation. Well, I began to do my calculations. Why? From 1909 to 1963, he was 54. 54 minus 33. He says the sword was in my hand 33 years ago. It gives you 21 years. I said, hallelujah. There's your night at 7, 14, and 21. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Where did that sword fall in his hand? In Arizona? Sabina Canyon. And when I had the once in a lifetime opportunity to be taken to Sabina Canyon, as a waterfall, no knight could afford to carry a blunt sword. That's why the Bible says a two-edged sword that cuts asunder, it means sharp. And who can deny, if you listen to the tapes, who can deny that God raised up a man in this hour who was so precise on the word? Any person that says, I see mistakes in the message, I would like to have an audience with them. Because 45 years now, I haven't found a single one. Those things that you call mistakes, the prophet says we have to say certain things a certain way to throw others off. So are you a throw-off type? I am not. You find it in the ministry of Jesus, the Son of Man. Somewhere there in Luke 9, he says, now, as I send you out, take no sword, take no scrip, take no, you understand? Take no coat. But in Luke 22, he says, now, take the sword, get an extra coat. So if you don't understand that type of ministry, you will say, well, here he said this, over there he said that, there's a contradiction, maybe that's meant to throw you off. Because the prophet had to come in the mold of the Son of Man. Amen? Yes. So there are no contradictions in the message. Amen. You, not you here, but you are the contradiction. Amen. Knights were supposed to be hunters. Oh, I love this. Ooh. My hair, short as it is, stands on end. A knight had to be qualified as a hunter. Fox hunting, whatever, bird hunting. And here God raises up a man in our day, and we think, some people say, that, oh, he took too much holidays. He took too much to the woods. He told us, in case you didn't hear him, he said, I'm not so much going out there to hunt. He says it's to be alone with God. And it was revealing another nature. John the Baptist was a wilderness man. Did not the angel say, "Yes, John the Baptist"? You see? You must listen carefully. The angel said, "Yes, John the Baptist." So if he is as John the Baptist, he must be a wilderness man. A knight was supposed to be a hunter. A knight was also a household ruler. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 24 and 45? Did not Jesus say, who will he put over his household to provide food in due season? And here we have one of the messages entitled, Spiritual Food in? I just quoted Matthew 24, 45. Fulfilled before our very eyes. Where he said, these tapes, the storehouse, I am putting these words on tape. It's the storehouse. Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Oh, we see a generation now in the message. They have no time to listen to the voice. What a pity. What a disaster. Because God told the prophet that rapturing faith lays in those messages. Are you looking to be raptured? Get back to the tapes. Did he not say that I'm not feeding you with anything but the body word of the Son of Man? Did he also not say you are eating your new body out of the word? I'm amazed that people have fallen out of love with the very thing God has designed to take them out of this world. But I'm so in love with it. From February 1973 till today, I'm still passionate about the message of the hour. If there's anything I love more than my life, God have mercy on me, it is this message of the hour. I am convinced I was not spoken into the message. Nobody can speak me out. I was not brought into the message because I'm looking for a wife. No. I heard this voice. The first tape I ever heard was, are you here? The seed is not air with a shock. That's the message that turned his heart. I'd never heard this. A prophet, a man just said, would you like to come? And first he said, God sent a prophet. What did I know about a prophet? I said, where's he from? That's where God caught me. When he said America, well, as a growing boy in Africa, we loved everything American. God knew how to catch me like he knew how to catch Moses. I'm not Moses, but I'm running a parallel. Moses had an inquisitive mind. He was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. So God knows to attract him, let a tree burn, but there's no consumption. The leaves are still green. It attract Moses. So with me, anything American, here I go. So I thought, he is inviting me to his house. I'm going to meet an American man. You see, that's how God had me think. We come into his house, and the next thing he brings out, you know those reel-to-reel tapes? The old ones. Ah, these new ones don't know what we're talking about. They're used to tablets, and I don't know the things in the ears. But you're fulfilling the prophet's vision anyway. The prophet saw the message of the hour being listened to in Africa, he says, with tubes in their ears. Give God the glory. Hallelujah! I'm talking about the prophet. So go on, listen to it the way you do, but I'm saying in my days. And the first thing when he clicks on, good evening, friends. I thought, what? What is happening? But of course, I could tell it was an American accent. And I started listening. First time, straight out of the world. And when the prophet began to describe the eagle, well, I didn't know the word amen, please forgive me. I was saying, yeah. Because I'm trying to be American. And then he slapped me on the shoulder. He says, not yeah. I said, amen. So first time I learned, amen. By the end of the tape, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. He discerned that there was a thirst in me. He said, would you like to listen to another one? I said, how many of these things do you have? He said, well, at the moment I have only 30, but the prophet preached over 1,000 of them. I said, goodness gracious, let's hear another one. It was recognizing your day and its message. After those two tapes, I said, where do you baptize? Give God the glory. Hallelujah. So you see, we are still standing by the grace of God because something hit the heart. It was not I'm looking for some lucky charm. You know, people attend churches today because they're looking for some kind of prosperity. No, something must hit your heart. Then this brother heard that I'm seeing my wife. I have a girlfriend. I said, without knowing, I said, can I get my girlfriend to hear this? He said, you have a what? This is 1973. Not the youth today. The word girlfriend. He said, you. I said, you bring her here. You know what he played us? Marriage and divorce. I'm not even baptized yet. Feathers flying everywhere. I didn't hear everything the prophet said, but I knew when I left that house, I knew that this man says, live clean for Christ. So you see, God is also training you as a knight. Now you may say, but Brother George, knights were only men. Well, I've got good news for you. Have you not read somewhere in the Bible where it says brethren? Yes. The word brethren, old English word brethren, it means male, female. Ish. It boggles the mind that the sisters should be called brethren. But you see, if it says brothers, then it's the brothers who wear pants. But when it says brethren, it includes male, female. That's why when Paul wrote, he says there's no more male or female in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, sisters, I've got a good one for you. What is the last virtue before you cross into the headstone? Is it not called brotherly kindness? Why didn't Paul say, excuse me, and you sisters, sisterly kindness? No. It requires brotherly kindness from sisters as well. Because now in that word brotherly kindness, it means brothers and sisters. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. And you can see that in the training of the pyramid, you also are required to have 7 requirements. It's part of the training. Before you cross over to the Lordship, who is the headship of the church, I'm not going to be long. Sometimes you just have to hit it quick and let go. Well, before I close, because we continue tomorrow night. This 5-year-old pastor, 5-year-old, comes to a message church. Now, he comes from a denomination where everything is done in 15 minutes. I don't know how they get it right. They sing, they do the sermons maybe 1 minute, and in 15 minutes they're out. Now he comes to a message church, before I close, where there's 30 minutes waiting. Already for that child it was an eternity. Then the song leader came with another 30. But in that church the song leader went 1 hour. It's an hour and a half for this boy. And then they had 30 minute specials. It's 2 hours for this boy. Then the preacher came with a 3-hour sermon. Poor boy, because they put him in front. The church had only one door at the back. Now he's last to go out. He's fidgety, he's tired, he's never been in a church like this. But he notices that at the door people are dropping in money. Now message people know what that means. He goes home and mother says, where have you been all this time? She says, oh, Mom, I went to a church. They call it a message church. All this time, he says, yes, Mom. And as we were leaving, people were paying to get out. We don't want you paying to get out, but we want you to give your tithes. So say the word, right? So I want to hit these points, appetize you so that tomorrow night you come for part 2, the language of knights. How knights speak. Oh, it's going to bless you. So a knight was a household ruler. In other words, he had to make sure that his master's household is well fed. Spiritual food in due season. And a knight had to be one, when called upon, had to walk with his Lord at all times. Give God the glory. Hallelujah! What happened? Colorado, after the storm, speak to the hail, the sleet, the clouds, let the rain roll back, let the sun shine. The voice of God said, wouldn't you like to walk with me? Oh my! Knights were required to accompany their lords when called upon. Hallelujah. This one gave me shivers. Knights had to take part of their Lord's name. That's deep. If a knight was trained under the McCarthys, after his training, he's a McCarthy, son of Carthy. And by now you know that the name Branham is not by chance. In the true Easter seal, he tells you, he says, Abram was Abram until God changed him to Abraham, Avraham in Hebrew. Then he goes on and he tells you, why did God change Peter, Simon to Peter, etc., Saul to Paul? You see, he's laying a foundation, because in knighthood, the knight must take his master's name. So that H-A-M, you know, is the last part of Elohim. Hallelujah! Elohim, excuse the language coming for Elohim. Elohim coming for Elohim. It's my little expression to say, look how important you are. He's not coming for Elohim. He's coming for Elohim. Amen. So, you see, the first word bran in English, Old English, it means seed. Look at your Kellogg's when you eat them. Read the box. It'll say, this is made from the finest bran. Be it wheat, corn, whatever. Bran, seed, ham, Elohim. Seed of Elohim. You'll excuse the next statement, but you'll love it. I did a research on the bran ham surname. Are you ready? Perhaps it'll help you understand why nothing will move me from this message. The Branhams originate from the land of Israel. As they traveled into Europe, the surname Avraham was too Jewish for them, so they had to veil it. Then it was Branham. And Brother Perry Green picks it up in his book and says, Branham, when they were registering, became Branham. It was not perchance. They are originally Avraham. And the prophet confirms it in a tape where he says, a man came to me and said, hello, Brother Branham, are you any relation to Abraham? And the prophet says, I said, yes, I'm his son. What is our theme? Reinforcement. Read between the lines. A knight has to take his Lord's name. Amen. And then, knights had different orders. I've got them right here. They were either called the Knights of Bath, the Knights of St. Michael, even St. George. Excuse me, I feel good. Then they had the Order of Patrick, the Knights of Thistle, the Knights of the Order of the Elephant, the Order of Olaf, the Golden Fleece, Knights of Columbus, Knights of etc., etc., and even Knights of the Round Table. And I laughed at this one. I thought, yes, If we all sit at this round table where spiritual food is fed, round tables have no corners, so the devil can never corner you if you are eating from the message. Hallelujah! So welcome to the night of the round table tonight. And these nights, before I close, in order to be distinguished, because they wore these helmets and made of steel, sometimes you would not be able to say who's behind the mask, so they would have an emblem, either what is called the coat of arms or a crest, and they would choose an eagle, so when you see an eagle, you know who's the man behind it. Amen? And today, God has left us enough in the message to know who's who. Some churches, when you come to preach, you already see a pyramid. You know I'm in a massive church. Where have you ever seen the pyramid with a headstone in a denomination? They know nothing about it. Those are emblems of message people. You come into a church, there's a cloud. You say, amen, I'm home. You know what I'm saying. Read between the lines. The cloud of 1963 is here. Somebody tried to debate with me. Oh, it was London everywhere. I said, look, brother, you are missing the mark. It came. You want to debate about it? It was not the 20th of February. I said, brother, you are missing the mark. It came. Brother Benham taught us, if one says he's coming on a white cloud on a white horse, he says, don't debate that. Catch the meaning. He is coming. Amen? The cloud came. God bless your heart. Today, you come into a church, you see a lamb and a dove, you know, aha, lamb and the dove. You see a sword. You know that's a symbol of the sword of 63. Is that right? Etc., etc. First time when I flew to Moscow, Russia, it was way before Instagrams and WhatsApps and sending pictures by phone, so they didn't know how I looked like. I don't know how they described me, but after picking up my bags, exiting the customs, I'm in Moscow, but nobody's coming for me. So you see people disappearing one by one and bags disappearing. I'm almost the last one standing, and I'm in a foreign country. I cannot speak their language, and I'm standing. After a while, I see brothers, or men rather, over there drinking some coffee. And something said, why don't you go toward them? So I kind of walked toward them, and there was no response. Something said, reach in your bag, my preaching bag, which I've got right here in the office. Back then, the spoken word book had an eagle at the back. All I did, I pulled out the spoken word, and I did this, and they all left their coffees and said, Brother George, Brother George. I said, that's me. Hallelujah. So what did they recognize? The emblem. The emblem of knighthood. God bless you. Knights, as I've said, had to fight wars for their master. And I'm quoting, standing in the gap, volume 6, number 7, paragraph 54, the prophet of God says, I have been preaching for years. I've become an old man, an old veteran preacher. I've had a lot of hard battles. I'm scarred. I'm all cut up on the inside from fights. My lot was not to kiss the babies and bury the dead and marry the young. My lot was to hold a two-handed sword at the battlefront against the wiles of paganism and demonology. Give God the praise. Hallelujah! Knights are expected to fight wars and battles for their master. You are not on a picnic here. That's a fight to stay in this message. Because the devil ain't folding his hands. Amen? If there's anything the devil wants to wreck, it's the message of the hour. If there's anything he wants to hit first in the church, it's the pastor. Because he knows, he reads the Bible, smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. He knows that. We ought to be praying for our leaders. Yes, sir. Not like one time I had to do a house visit, but I did not inform them I was coming. You can see now, almost 65, I'm also picking up a little bit around here. So I didn't know that this family calls me pot belly. You be careful what you say in front of your children, because children are so pure. They are going to say exactly what you say. So I knock at the door, and who opens? Little six-year-old, five-year-old. Mommy, Daddy, pot belly is here. I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't know I have another name, so. Yeah, and I'm going to talk to the brothers. You know, brothers today, they want to get caught up in this spirit of Hollywood. You know, six-pack, they know what I'm saying. They don't read their Bibles no more. They don't pray. They want to be popping pills and pushing iron. They want a six-pack. Well, thank God, I have one pack, but I have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, I've got one pack, but I've got the Holy Ghost. And I think that's more important than six packs. Because you see, once you get six packs, brother, the devil says, now show it off. The next thing, the brother is wearing tight-fitting shirts to church. The next thing is sitting there with three buttons open. You see? The devil has crept in, brother. Mm-hmm. The next thing, he's applying some creams to get more hair on his chest. That's serpent seed. Mm-hmm. But you know what the prophet says? He says the serpent was more handsome than Adam. When that spirit jumps on a brother, it takes 3 hours just shaving. 3 hours. And he says, you handsome beast, you. But give me the Holy Ghost anytime. Oh, God will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. I don't have time to be running and jogging and pushing irons, but I'm trusting God that the belly will disappear as long as I've got the Holy Ghost. That's what's taking me over. Oh, my, before we close and watch, it's been just 1 hour. Message of the hour. Yes. He has to protect the elect lady, we said. Serves her food. Makes sure that her vestures. Watch the language for tomorrow night. Vestures. That's why they've got the word investiture in Old English. It's to dress, to make sure that the elect lady has her clothes. And that's why the prophet says, Lord, crown my ministry with this. That I may do what? Take the clothes of the word and dress the bride. Give God the praise. Dress the bride. Hallelujah. So if this message has dressed you, please do not undress. Do not discard. Do not forsake. Thank you, little one. I heard that amen there. God bless you. That's why in perfect faith the prophet says, I'm standing here as your brother. Pointing my finger at the white throne. I believe it was Christ in him. Brother Bannon was standing in the pulpit, but the voice that came out says, I'm standing as your brother, interceding, pointing my finger at that white throne. If your faith isn't strong enough, he will use my faith. There's a night. Yeah. Amen. You see, tomorrow night, we're going to emphasize that the knight has to be kneeling when the sword is placed on him. Amen, is that right? And they say a knight. Once you have caught on to a knight that is now a knight and he's a sir, watch. Look how the prophet elevated you when he preached what? Sirs. Is this there? Do you realize where he placed you? You don't realize where he placed you. He didn't call you, he said, sirs. He's now addressing another group after him. Because if you have received the same sword, not literally the same way, but you've received the same word. I close with reinforcements. My last statement, Pastor, you may make ready to come. There was a battle that took place. I don't quite remember which country, but they divided the soldiers into regiments. Regiment 1, group 1, group 2, group 3. So the first group went to attack, and then they ran out of ammunition. And they were being slaughtered. One man escaped, and he was running back to the second regiment. And when he arrived, bleeding, all he said was, "Send reinforcements. They are going to advance," meaning the ones he left behind. He didn't know they were mowed down. Then the second regiment sent a soldier to base. Do you know what message he gave when he arrived at the base? "Send reinforcements, we are going to advance." Now became, "Send 3 and 4 cents, we are going to advance." The original message in process of time still sounded like, but it wasn't the same content. I close. The original message from a battlefront, by the time it reached the base, sounded the same, but the content was no longer the same. "Send reinforcements, we are going to advance," became, "Send 3 and 4 cents, we are going to advance." May God help us in the message of the hour. May we never lose the original content. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Part 2 tomorrow night.
That we need to send reinforcements. Brothers and sisters, let's not lose the vision. That the original word that was preached will be the original word that God's looking for when we finish. It's not time to just talk about message. It's time to be a real soldier. Living as a testimony to the word that God has already given to us. People are falling by the wayside, by many of them. As he spoke earlier, they interpret it different ways. And he said he made comments to throw them off. And if you have this testimony, that when you heard the voice of God, not the voice of William Branham, when you heard the voice of God through that man, you knew it was more than a man. And that man pointed us to Jesus Christ, the deliverer of our soul. And he said to keep marching in this battle. And he warned us that near the end time, when he saw the vision of the bride, how that some were getting out of step. And he loved us enough to say, "Get back in line." Brothers and sisters, this is a personal revelation of the Word of God revealed in you. And the only one that can knight you is the Holy Spirit. The only one that can take that sword and lay it over you and say, "I welcome you into my kingdom." He does it with such authority that when He gives you the Holy Ghost, nobody can talk you out of it. When He reveals Himself, nobody can change it. I didn't come this far to let somebody get on the internet and try to deceive me into believing something different. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't get on the internet. You need the authority of the Holy Ghost. And if you would spend more time around the round table instead of the supper table, your soul would change. Your seal, let me tell you something. If you get sealed by God, I don't care how many wet blankets they throw. I don't care how many other messages they throw or what kind of falsehoods they find. You say, not for me. Because the fire that's inside of you keeps burning. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you say, I'm marching on to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Would you stand with me tonight? Do you appreciate the word of God? Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. The authority of the word will live through you. It will live through you. You don't have to prove nothing. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll just live it. I'm free. You're looking at a man that's free tonight. And I'm looking at people of God that's free tonight. Because for whom the Son has set free, he's free indeed. You wouldn't be here if you didn't feel like you were free. We didn't make none of you come here. You said, I want to go hear the word. You know that Brother George is going to say something probably a little bit different than anybody else could say it. That's why we like him to come. He says it in a different way that I could never see it. And he's told me this. He said, but Brother Mike, God can speak through you in a way that I will never see it. And these other brothers, God will use you. Just know that you're not called by man, but that you're called by God. Because when God puts it in you, friend, all devils out of hell can't turn you around. We've got a word that's thus saith the Lord, nothing to be afraid of. He's my Lord is what I want to sing. There is no other one. Tomorrow evening service is at 6 o'clock. We tried to set a little bit early because Sunday morning service is at 10:30. And you're all welcome. You have your churches. You support your churches. Be at your posted duty and let God bless you in those churches the way that you're supposed to be. God will honor you in all those things. Brother Steve, thank you for coming over. Brother Augustine, Brother Christopher, other ministers. I see different ministers. Would the ministers just slip your hand up? Would you mind? All the ministers, just Brother Oliver, God bless you. Brother Brian, Brother Tim. There's Brother Augustine back in the back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my Lord. There is no worship to him. He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. About the elect lady, talking about how that Noah, when he was under the influence of the power of God, and how that everybody would say there is no rain. But Noah said, God said, it's thus saith the Lord. And because he alone stood and preached that gospel, God honored him and gave him his family. Just keep standing for the Lord. But the song that was written, and I can't remember who wrote the song. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the rain. Because he made the rain. We need the rain. But he needs to reign in your life. Think about that when we sing the song. I know the master of the wind. You sing with me and then we'll let you be dismissed and you can fellowship out in the foyer. Please don't talk in the sanctuary. Amen. You say, but we're in a Baptist church. I don't care. We're here to worship God the same way, in reverence and in honor to him. We appreciate the people here allowing us to use the church. They've been such a blessing to us. Amen.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Sing it again.
Oh, yes, now. I know master of the wind. I know the maker of the sun shine again. I know the master of.
One last time, we'll let you be dismissed.
Oh, yes, now. I know master of the wind. I know the maker of.
There's a little phrase that I caught just the other day. It says, sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he calms me. Let him calm you. Shake hands with the neighbor around you. Be dismissed in Jesus' name. And go and see you tomorrow evening. Hallelujah, I know.
Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun.